it's like we say, I just have to follow the Lord. It's the only thing I know to do, and it's the only thing I know that works. But I'll be reading over in the book of Luke this morning, in about the 12th chapter of the book of Luke. Going to read there some. Maybe reading in a few other places in Luke. But it's going to take the Lord to bring out anything this morning. And that's for sure, because we sure can't do nothing without Him. The 12th chapter of the book of Luke, and I know we've all read this, no doubt, but probably about the 16th verse of the 12th chapter. The Bible says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, this will I do, I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods, and I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods, lay up for many years, take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." And this scripture come to her heart there, like I say, early this morning, laying there in the bed, and the Lord's been dealing with us on it a little bit. And I thought in this, and just bear with me. In reading this, I thought about in these three verses that you read right there, and I don't normally do things this way, but I just kindly counted how many times that in this parable that this man would have been a reference in himself. And out of about 73 words there, he spoke of himself, either or I or my or something to that effect. He spoke about 14 times he said that. And I thought about that, you know, that's probably about, I don't know percentages very well, but the best I can tell, about 5% of what he was doing was me, and I. And I thought on that this morning, there, how he saw all that he had, and the Bible said there that a certain rich man said he brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, and right there is where we begin to start getting in trouble. When we start thinking within ourselves, and that was the first thing he done, is he started listening to what he thought about things and how he felt about it. And he got to pondering on just how good he was doing and just everything he had. And I got to thinking about that. You go on down through there in that. And it says, he said, what shall I do? There he went again. And he said, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And I got to thinking just how we go through this life, Mike Paul, and we get to looking, and boy, we start seeing how we're doing, and we start thinking, what am I going to do? And the first thing you know, Ethan, we're starting to try to figure out how we should live and how we should do. And they start seeing this man start seeing how good he was doing and everything he had, Mike. And all that the thing he wanted to know is, how can I keep everything I got? How can I store everything that I'm going to have? I got more coming. There's better things for me. There's more for me to do. He said, well, I'll just tear down my barns and I'll build bigger. And I can store everything I've got. And Gina, he said, and I'll sit back and I'll take my ease. What's the first thing we do in this life? We start thinking in ourselves. We start start seeing just how good we're doing, everything we've got. And how can we keep it that way? How can I have more? How can I do more? I tear down my bones and I'll build bigger. You know what, David, the first thing people start doing when everything's rolling down in their life? And I want you to understand, I might use the example of wealth as far as we look at it money-wise and things of that nature, but it applies in a lot of different manners. Just say we start getting the job we always wanted. We start making money. We start having things we never thought we was ever going to have, might have grown up, what people considered poor. How can I just keep every bit of this, and how can I have more, Bobby? I'll tear down my barns and build bigger. You know what people start doing when everything's rolling good in their life? They ain't sick. They ain't got a problem. Everything's just coming in good. They start tearing down a few things to make room for more pleasure, to make room for more happiness that they think they've got in their life. So what do you have to do? And I told you that I've been thinking here lately. It seems like every time a message comes to my heart, these questions come with it. And I thought, and I wrote it down. I thought, what's the last thing we tore down and made better for the Lord? And what's the last thing we tore down and made better to where we could have some pleasure? This man wanted to tear down and he wanted to store up for himself, didn't he? He wasn't thinking about his neighbor. He wasn't thinking about God. He wasn't thinking about his children. He wanted something that makes his life just as easy as it could be. That's what we do, ain't it? We start tearing down a few things here to make it easier on ourselves, don't we? What we think it's going to do. When everybody gets to doing good, David, I want you to look at the first thing most of the time what people will tear down in their life. They'll tear down something there. They'll quit reading their Bible. Oh, they got to make room for doing a little few other things. For storing up some more happiness they think they're getting. Oh, they'll tear down their prayer life. When it's all about I and it's all about me, that's the things you'll start tearing down. Oh, then once we get them barns tore down and they start getting full of the world, then the next thing we'll start doing, we'll tear down going to church. We'll tear down witnessing to anybody. We'll tear down anything that's benefiting God in our life. And we're going to build bigger and we're going to build greater is what we think, ain't it? What's being rich to us anymore? What is rich? Well, we think it's having the wealth of this life and living the pleasures of this world, don't we? That's what we consider rich, ain't it? This man right here, he said, I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods, lay up for many years, take thy ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said, hey, here comes the deciding factor of the whole thing. He said, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. If we lay up treasure for ourselves, Judy, are we rich unto God? The things of God, that's rich. The things of God, them great treasures. The things of this world are temporary and they won't bring happiness. They bring more trouble than they're worth. All I
fucking thinking this is on over in about the 15th chapter of the book of Luke about a rich man. The Bible said, fared sumptuously every day of his life, had everything that a man could want in this world. Julian, he thought he was living the dream. How many today do we see thinks they're living the dream? I preached a message one time on who's wanting to be Lazarus. They ain't nobody wants to be Lazarus. This old beggar laying outside the rich man's gate. Sores covering his body. Just wanting to grow. That's what the church looks like to the world. Like we ain't got nothing. Like we're suffering. Like there's no happiness. And the world thinks they've got it all. They think the rich. But when it comes down to the Lord requiring the soul of man, which one would you rather be in? Would you rather have fared sumptuously in this life and had everything that it could offer? Or would you rather have been a beggar with sores all over you? Our lost people today is getting taught to live for the world. Why? Because a lot of so-called Christians, what people perceive as the church, is living it up in the world. They're tearing down their barns, Matthew, and they're building what they think's bigger. And they think they're gaining everything the world's got to offer. Hey, to be honest with you, they may be. They may be gaining pleasure in this world. They may be gaining worldly status. They may be growing a bank account. But I'm going to ask you one question. What's going to come their way? Their soul is required of them. He said, "Thou fool. Thou fool." I'm going to tell you what. The church ain't just people that's got a membership somewhere. I'm going to say this right here and you take it. There's a whole lot of members of the church that's going to hell. Not members of the church, but members of a church. There's a whole lot of pew warmers that's going to hell. Worried more about tearing their barns down and building bigger and a gaining in this world rather than seeing the house of God prosper. You know what matters in the end? Me and my wife lose everything we've got. The condition of our soul. If you see me having to beg somewhere one day for a crumb, know this, that when this life's over, I'll be all right. Hey, may come a day, Mike Ball. Hey, I know better than to say that it'll never happen. I've been there before, Mel with me, when I didn't know how to feed my youngins. I know I'm not ignorant enough to think that I can't hit the bottom. I promise you this, I've got one that'll bring me up. I told you to stay on this thing, don't move. I want my lost people to know, don't you trust the riches of this world. Don't you go after the pleasures and the fun things that people call fun in this world and think that's going to be your happiness. and raised up. And they'll be begging for just a taste of what we got. I'm not a boaster. I'm a preacher. I'm a begging. Our people, I want to see them saved. I don't want them begging when it's too late for what we got, church. Preaching, the church needs to look up while I'm looking up. Oh, I ain't scared for me, Mike. I promise you, church, I ain't a bit worried about where I'm going. I promise you, there's no fear in my life of facing hell for myself, but I'm afraid for my people. There's coming a day, Mike. If our people don't get saved, the angels ain't gonna carry them out of here. They're gonna lift their eyes in the pits of hell. It scares me. You got children coming to it. They need a God that can deliver. And the gods of this world ain't what's going to do it. I'd rather my youngs live under a bridge somewhere in a box and know they're going to hell. It's to think they was the highest, biggest billionaire that ever lived. This world's gain is not profit. You gain the whole world and lose your soul. What profit is it? What have you benefited? This rich man died and left everything he had for somebody else. And if they took it as their gain, they had nothing either. Does that make sense? He might have had you of it. And they may have seen him work hard for everything he had. And then when he died and his soul was required of him, you know what they're going to work for, Mike? They're going to work for bigger barns. They're going to work for more of this world's wealth. Hey, we got a generation of youngins coming up that need to see the church working for God. Not towards the wealth of this life, not towards the gain of this flesh. You can believe if you want to. They can laugh at me with all they want to. They can call me ignorant and I just don't know anything about what's fun. I've been accused of it. Not fun no more. They ain't like they used to be. Hey, I promise you, I'm not what I used to be. No, all I ever worked for, Sandy, was to please me. Chapter of the book of Revelation, very familiar, 14th verse. And unto the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen.
the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth, because thou sayest, listen, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten, be zealous and repent. How many today thinks they're so rich? How many today thinks they have not need of the church? How many today don't think they need the blood of Jesus Christ applied to their life? How many thinks they got all they need, Lee, going through this life with not a care, tearing down the barns of their salvation, the barns of their hope, the barns, that's the only thing that'll benefit them. They're trying to build bigger in the world. I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched. You know what that word wretched is? Very miserable, sunk into deep affliction or distress, either from want or anxiety or grief. These people today don't think they need nothing, Judy. And they're wretched. They're miserable in their own skin. Why? They want more, darling. And they want more. They tear down the good things in life that God's blessed them with to build something bigger. And the whole time they're tearing down and trying to build back more and more and more, one of these days, their soul's going to get required of them in the hour that they think not. Behold, he comes quickly. Quick. Just as quick as you think you're on top of the world. I think about this little old thought right here a whole lot of times. It's been several years ago. As a young lady, not far from here, and I remember it on the news, and other people were telling me about it. She was going out the road and taking on a phone. Wrecked and died there. They said the last thing she texted out is, I love this song. It makes me happy. Listening to something, I don't know what kind of song, I ain't even going to judge. Listening to something that was just making her day great. And the next thing she knew, Julian Anders, she went out of here to meet God. You think that youngin was expecting to die at that moment? No, she wasn't. Oh, she's doing something, listening to something that was making her flesh happy. How many today's rolling right along, just doing everything they think makes them happy? That quick, our soul can be required of us. Are we going to be rich in the things of this world and think we ain't got need of nothing? And then all of a sudden, how quickly reality hit that rich man that opened his eyes hungry in the depths of hell, in the torments of that flame, the Word of God said, how quickly it came upon him. He needed God. But at that moment, it was too late.
how quick I can leave here.
Word this week about a man I used to work around. I hadn't seen him in a long time.
45 years old. Bow brain. Out on the job hanging sheetrock, fell dead. Heart attack. Dead lame. Bo wasn't playing on line that day. One way I know is I hope he's ready. Tried the years gone by, I talked to him.
Hadn't seen him in a lot of years.
One thing I hoped all of him prayed. Too late now. He's saved. He's in the comforts of heaven. But I'm going to tell you what, Bo Graham was lost and never accepted Jesus. He's screaming from the pits of hell, preach to him and tell him. Preach and tell him. Tell him not to come to this place. That's what the rich man done, Matthew. He looked up out of there. He said, go tell my brothers. Tell him not to come here. There's many a screamer coming out of hell. Don't worry about what they think about you. Tell them. We worry a lot of times about what people think about hurting feelings. Stepping on toes, as people say.
God help me never to even think about them things, but just to preach the word.
There's people in hell that don't want you there. And there's a God in heaven that didn't want you there enough that he gave his son that you didn't have to go. That man prayed. Send Lazarus back. Surely if they see one that's rose from the dead, they'll believe. I'm going to tell you something. There's one that died and rose from the dead. And if you don't see him this morning, you ain't going to see nothing.
Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me.
You know who's knocking at the door? One rose from the dead. It ain't Lazarus. It ain't Moses. It ain't Abraham. It ain't Elijah. It ain't Philip. It ain't Peter. It ain't Paul. It's God himself knocking on the heart's door this morning. Hey, it's the God of heaven. Hey, it's Lazarus. What's that come in the door this morning? He couldn't save your soul.
Because thou sayest I'm rich and increased with goods and have no need of nothing, have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I'm here this morning to tell you, you're wretched, you're miserable, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked.
And without the blood applied to your eye, you'll stand before God, wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked.
That's how the rich man left this world.
Some were a long way, remember? Some were a long way. Oh, nasty Lazarus! Hey, that one covered in sores, that one that begged for a crumb, somewhere along the way, he accepted God. I know I've said before, Jennifer, I think so many times how them angels came and carried him. At that time before that Christ had come, Lazarus died in faith, believing there's going to be a Jesus one day. And because of his faith in a Jesus to come, his life was spared. And at that day, he was laying in Abraham's bosom. And what we'd call paradise. Oh, but after Jesus came and rose from the dead, conquered death, hell, and the grave, there's many of them seen a walking. Hey, when he resurrected, hey, there's many of them seen. Praise God today. I'm thankful for a resurrected Savior. I'm thankful for a hope in a better place than this. I'm not going to Abraham's bosom. Let Lazarus sit there no more. He wasn't able to cover his nakedness up yet. Not to be able to go into the presence of the Father because the atonement hadn't been made yet from the precious blood of the Lamb. And I'm thankful. I won't stand before him like wretched. I won't stand before him miserable, poor, blind, and naked. I'll stand before him covered to him in the blood of Jesus. I done read it. To him that overcometh, I will grant him to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear. Hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Well, he read to you this morning. Not just to be a hearer, but to be a doer. How do I get saved? It's not complicated. It's not hard. If you're at the house, stay it, and you hear it. How do you know who's on the other side? Go answer the door. Go heed to the knocking that's taking place. How do you get saved this morning? When you hear that heart get knocked on, just answer the door. I don't know if I can open the door. I want you to understand something. He said, I am the door. He's knocking. He's knocking on the door. He's the way. He's the way to get through. He's the one doing the knocking. And I promise you, he'll open the door when you come to it. That's hard to understand. Not through faith. Not through faith. You know how Lazarus got saved? Through faith. You know how I got saved? Through faith. You know how I've got a hope that I ain't going to hell? Through faith. By grace, through faith. Not of my works. That old rich man was a storing up for his flesh. He's a tearing down and a making bigger. And he was a fool. Through him, 2 or 3. Verses 17 times, I, me, but him of himself. And you know if you got Jesus? He said, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. He said, from the abundance of your heart, the mouth will speak.
I thought about this as we was reading this.
How many times in a day is it about you?
How many times in a day is it I, me?
How many times do you think I need to not do this this season? I've got more I've got to do. Ain't got time to read? Oh, me. Ain't got time to pray? Oh, me. We all get there. We all have them times, but there's something that'll tell me when I've done wrong. But how many times in the day is it about us? When's the last time you tore down something in your natural life to make more room for God?
When's the last time you tore down some of them barns?
We got barns and we got buildings that's laid around, Jay. And we got some old barns out there. We don't know what's in them, Tom. They spent so much junk piled up in them over so many years. At one point in time, when we build something like that, it's got a need in our life, and we're using it, and it's beneficial. But then after a while, we start piling junk in. We start building it up. Next thing you know, you can't even get in the building that you built. You got to go build something else. You don't even know what you got in there. Better now, then, man, you got to go in there and clean that out. When's the last time that we cleaned something out to make room for God? Something beneficial in our life. Lost person, you just need to tear down your whole wall. Except God, except the Lord build the house, they that labor may. Let Him build you something. He's already built it. All you got to do is move in and take use and possession of it. Are we building for ourselves or building for Him? So he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. It said, back up that 20th verse, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. I just got one question this morning. If your soul is required of you this night, have you laid up treasures for this world, or are you rich unto God? Who's our riches at? You better be in God's. Or you ain't got nothing. All we got's this world, all these days, this old flesh that we fought to please, ain't going to be nothing but a pile of dust. And our soul will be required somewhere. It'll either be required in hell or it'll be required in heaven. We'll either be looking up out of the pits of hell in 4 minutes in the flame, or we'll be in the joys of heaven. Where are you going to be? That's what the Lord gave us this morning. I pray that everybody here is saved this morning. But I'm going to tell you what. We're not. God sent a message this morning. My heart's been heavy for the lost. All morning. I love Him.